On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whether it's the 18th Sunday after Trinity or not, when you come to a church like ours, you're going to hear the sentence, "On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Now, when you come to think of that statement that Christ makes, it's an enormous claim. By the time of Christ, naturally, the entire Old Testament, as we now call it, had been composed, and even what would come to be known as the Old Testament Apocrypha had been completed by that time. 39 books, canonically, spanning centuries and centuries, are summarized as the Law and the Prophets. And now the Law and the Prophets are distilled down into two commandments in two sentences. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And we may be puzzled to consider this. As Origen once said, "But how is the law which regards lepers dependent upon these two commands? And still further, how does the prophecy about captured Jerusalem, or the vision of Egypt in Isaiah and the other prophets, or Isaiah's vision of the four-footed beasts in the wasteland, depend on these two commands?" And even in this rhetorical question of Origen concerning Jesus' statement, there's really a minimization of how great a claim this is, that upon these two commandments, two, about love, hang all the law and the prophets, from creation of the universe in Genesis to the expectation of Elijah's return in Malachi, all is summarized in two statements. This is like saying that all the works of Homer, Plato, Aristotle, Confucius, Sophocles, Seneca, Cicero, Dante, Chaucer, Shakespeare, Milton, Voltaire, Dostoevsky, Tolstoy, Joyce, and T.S. Eliot can all be summarized in two sentences. Those two sentences had better be pretty awesome sentences. Jesus' words seem to be hyperbole at best, and at worst, maybe just incorrect. And so at the very least, a closer look must be taken to see what it is that Jesus might mean. Now, it is true that the Hebrew Bible, those 39 books, fall roughly into two categories. And though the narrative that begins with creation in the book of Genesis is not strictly speaking one long list of laws, nevertheless, in the story of the interactions between God and man across those many pages, that great epic story carrying us from Adam and Eve through Noah and the Tower of Babel and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Egypt and Exodus, through the conquest of the Promised Land, the establishment and fall of kingdoms in that same land, the creation and destruction and rebuilding of the temple, across all those pages, we get to know the very character of God. And while the law of God can be encapsulated in the Ten Commandments and in the theology of the covenant seen across those pages, what God expects of his people is played out for us there, as St. Paul says to the Corinthians, as an ensample for us. They are written for our admonition, and all of this is called the law. And the prophets? These books come after the narrative is completed in Ezra and Nehemiah, and they are the record of those men who were sent by God to call people back to obedience to God, to the law, obedience to the character of God revealed to them at those important moments in their history, to call people back to the law. And even prophecies about the future serve that purpose. This is how the entire movement of God amongst men in the Old Testament can be summarized as the law and the prophets. And how even laws about handling lepers or prophecies about the king of Tyre can still be summarized in 10 commandments, which can be distilled down into two: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when we think of all the writers of the world coming together with all their works, and one person saying that that could be distilled down into two sentences, that surely cannot be done without violence to the intention of all those writers one way or another, for each of them were writing with varying purposes in mind. But the Holy Scriptures, while they are presented to us in the character and with something of the personality and perspective of each of those who put pen to papyrus, they're all inspired by the Holy Spirit. The author is the same. These are the Holy Scriptures because they're God's message, and it's not sentimental to say they are His love letter to us. He shows us where we come from. He shows us who He is. He gives us boundaries that He will enforce, and then He calls us back to Him when we stray. He sends people to us to speak to us, as we've heard from last week from the prophet Jeremiah. He sends us messengers to weep for us if we won't hear the message, if we'll not swallow our pride and return. And so now, in this setting of the New Testament, we find Jesus answering a question about the greatest law with a perfect answer. And we should not be surprised. But now we should ask why we find Jesus answering such a simple question. Those questions were not asked by someone who didn't know the answer. The question was asked by an expert in the law. The question is beyond simple for this lawyer. It's an answer that everyone knew, in fact, like asking a child what color is blue. St. Cyril of Alexandria said, "The Pharisees, filled with envy, out of an immeasurable shamelessness, again were testing him, hypocritically asking if he might deliver a ruling concerning the first commandment. By doing so, perhaps, Jesus would amend the commandment in a manner that might lead to an accusation against them." They set for him a trap. And isn't that just precisely the kind of garbage that keeps people away from the church, keeps people away from God and away from Christ? When the outward conversation is about the love of God and the love of man, but the inward motivation, the inward hope is that some angle could be developed or exploited so that we may think higher of ourselves and less of others. Here is a gossip. Here is hypocrisy. Here is the kind of heart that the prophets were sent to call to repentance. And so Jesus, the very fulfillment of the law and the prophets, once he has answered the simple answer, has a question of his own for this expert in the law, and a question for any cynic about religion or the Christian faith, and a question indeed for you, and a question for me today. In fact, this is the question, even greater than which is the greatest law in all of the law and the prophets. And the question is this: what think ye of Christ? What do you say about the Anointed One? What do you say about the Messiah? Now, they didn't know they were speaking with the Messiah. But the question stands. Hypothetically speaking, Jesus says, if you were to meet Christ, whose son would he be? And pointing out to the lawyer that the Messiah would not only be the son of David, but he would somehow be David's Lord, as the scriptures say, Jesus quieted all the questioners by suggesting that this Messiah, this Christ, hypothetically speaking, if you were to meet him, just saying, you would be meeting David's Lord, and by definition then, the Lord of the kings. And we don't mean Saul. We mean the King of Kings, capital K's. The lawyers, who Cyril of Alexandria calls hypocrites, then had no further questions. But if we're not hypocrites, and the question is asked of us, what do you say of Christ? If you were to say what you know to be true, that this Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, this Christ was the only begotten Son of the Father even, and then you were to learn that this same Christ, the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, You learn that he displayed for you and for all humanity what it looks like to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He manifested it. And then you learn that this Christ was present. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and indeed is searching for you. And if you were to learn that this Christ had found you, and that you had found him, and if you were to learn that he had given himself to you so that you would give yourself to him, what would you do? What makes sense for you to do? What think ye of this Christ? Well, whatever your answer is, this is exactly what's happening. That Christ is here, that he is the Lord of all lords, and he is your Lord, and he is offering himself for you and to you, and he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. So your hypothetical answer to what is the greatest commandment is not even needed any longer. He is perfect love towards God and perfect love towards you. So let's change the question and close with some questions, in fact. When Jesus did this, no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions, the gospel says. But let's see what will happen with us when we change the question from what would you say to what would you do? What are you saying? What are you doing? When you heard today, now twice, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, just as Christ, who has displayed all this for you, did you call for mercy along with the liturgy? Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. And if you did you say, well, that's good enough? What then? Can it be said that you are only quieted, as the Pharisees were, never to ask anything ever again? Or do you now offer yourself, your soul and your body, to the worship and service of such a Christ? And will you take this Christ again as your Lord? And will you listen to the prophets and turn back to him? And will you listen to the law and return all your love to him? And will you listen to the Holy Spirit as the greatest question of all is asked of you? Will you, with the help of the Holy Spirit, now renew your resolve to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind today? Will you resolve again to love your neighbor as yourself? What do you, in your life today, say of this Christ? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.